I thrust again, sinking into her heat until there's no space left between us.
Fuck,
I grunt out. You're tight. I bury my face into her neck and breathe in her scent. She smells of lavender and rainwater and the sweet scent of female, and then she starts to move against me, lifting her hips to meet my thrusts. I've bedded a lot of women, but suddenly my mind goes blank of everyone before her. I can't recall a single one of them, not even if you paid me $1 million. All I can think of is Aspen. Aspen with her pouting mouth and flushed cheeks. Aspen with those wide blue eyes trained on mine and her lush curves and the scent of her desire. The wet spot she's currently leaving on the sheets as I fuck her tight, curvy body. She's drenching me in her heat and I can't take much more. She feels unbearably good and my self-control is shot. I need to come, I say on a growl.
Yes, I'm close,
she murmurs. It's only a few whispered syllables, but to me they mean so much. The fact that she's choosing to be here with me, giving herself to me so completely, makes my heart swell in a way I'm not sure it has before. I bring one hand between us, and when I touch her slick heat, Aspen curses, pushing out words I've never heard leave her mouth before, and her body quakes around mine. Her climax is powerful, stealing the breath from my lungs and squeezing my cock in hot, pulsing waves until I have no choice but to follow her over the edge. With a low groan, I fill the condom with my release. It's the most powerful orgasm of my life, and my hips jerk up in a hard thrust as I bury myself inside her for a final time. Holy shit. What was that? I move off her, rolling to my side, though I immediately miss the heat of her skin, the weight of my body pressing hers into the soft mattress. My heart rate slows, and I press a kiss to her temple. That was incredible. Aspen merely nods, her eyes heavy and her expression one of total satisfaction. With one last look of appreciation, I exit the bed. It's then that I notice the light has changed. It's no longer afternoon, and the room is painted in orange and pink twilight. Inside the bathroom, I dispose of the condom and wash my hands, and when I re-enter the bedroom, I try to get a read on the situation. Does she want me to grab my clothes and go? Is she done with me now? I mean, it was just a hookup, so I'd get it if she wanted her space to herself now. But her face is relaxed and open, and she pats the spot on the bed next to her. With a smile, I climb in once again, covering us with the sheet. She curls into my side, using my chest as her pillow, and I bring one arm around her to hold her close. While we lie there together, we talk of many things. First, about mundane things like how awful that freezing cold lake water was, and about the things I'm going to make her for dinner while we're here. But we dive into weightier things, too. She tells me about losing her father when she was 12 to a drunk driver, and I tell her of almost losing my mom to breast cancer 10 years ago. They're heavy topics, but with Aspen curled up on the bed beside me, my fingertips lazily tracing circles onto the skin of her shoulder, they don't feel so insurmountable. It feels natural to be sharing the deepest parts of ourselves after something so intimate. And I realize, with a jolt of clarity, that might be the most dangerous thing of all.
Chapter 12. Aspen. Why does everything taste better after sex? I ask between doughy bites. Alex found the waffle maker in one of the cupboards this morning before I even got out of bed. I'll admit it was kind of disappointing to wake up and roll over, only to find an empty pillow. Even if the sex is the best sex you've ever had, I'm pretty sure if a guy goes MIA the morning after sleeping with you for the first time, that's not a great sign. But this syrupy breakfast is doing a good job of making up for it, so all is forgiven.
Endorphins,
Alex says, but something's missing in his voice. His usual sense of humor is gone, replaced with an undercurrent of tension. That's weird. Maybe I'm reading into it. I wash down my last bite with a sip of coffee. Did you sleep all right?
Fine.
he mutters, his gaze glued to the table. Has he looked at me even once this morning? Dread settles around me like a wet coat. Something's definitely wrong. Are you okay? I meekly reach out to brush the back of his hand with my fingertips. Alex almost flinches away before he seems to make the decision to take my hand firmly in his. I'm trying to decipher his serious expression when he finally makes eye contact, his gaze stormy.
Can we talk?
He asks, his voice flat and emotionless. Okay, I'm definitely not reading into it. My stomach drops. Of course. The muscle in Alex's jaw ticks like he's grinding his teeth. I brace for impact.
I think last night was a mistake.
The word mistake crash lands on the table between us. Bracing didn't help. I'm stunned. A mistake? I repeat the words numbly. It seemed to me like you had a good time.
I did.
He sighs, squeezing my hand. I pull back, knotting my fingers in my lap. I don't want his pity. I want an explanation.
And that's the problem,
he says.
I always do this. Jump in without thinking about the consequences. Anything for a good time, right? But then my impulsiveness bites me in the ass. It always ends the same.
Blinking rapidly, I try to process it all. Where has this come from? What are you saying, Alex?
I'm saying that last night was a one-time deal. It won't happen again. It can't.
I saw it coming, but that doesn't take away the sting of his words. I break away from his penetrating gaze and opt to stare out the window. Well, isn't that convenient? You get to make all the decisions, and I get to live with all the regret. Alex shakes his head.
I don't regret it, Aspen, not one bit, and I hope you don't either. But I can't tell you how you should or shouldn't feel.
He rakes his fingers through his hair, his eyes squeezed shut.
I'm trying so hard not to be an asshole for once in my life. I'm trying to do the right thing.
And what's the right thing? He opens his eyes, pinning me in place.
I want to be your friend, Aspen, not your fuck buddy.
So you didn't like fucking me? The word feels stilted and unfamiliar on my tongue, but it packs a necessary punch.
Of course I did. Fuck, Aspen, last night was...
He trails off.
It was a lot of fun, really.
Fun. I guess that makes me the girl you have fun with once and then immediately discard. Good for a one-night stand and nothing else. What did I expect? I bite my lip, blinking back hot, angry tears. I will not cry. I've dealt with rejection far worse than this, so I will not cry, especially not in front of him. Alex's chair creaks as he slumps back.
I'm sorry. Really, I am.
Fine, if that's what you want, then it's fine, Alex. I don't know how I managed to say that so evenly, but I do, even though the weight of all these tears I refuse to cry may crush me. A long, excruciating pause stretches between us before he speaks again.
Thanks, Aspen.
Alex clears his side of the table quickly and quietly before he leaves the room, muttering something about the guest house and clogged gutters. I almost want to yell after him, good, you should probably stay in the guest house anyway. But all the wind has already been knocked out of me, and I don't think I could speak right now, even if I wanted to. I try to keep my mind blank, washing the dishes by hand and scrubbing every possible surface of the kitchen until it's squeaky clean. Then I move into the pantry for today's task, taking inventory and throwing out anything that's expired. Between the clatter of canned goods being tossed in the trash, Eden's words ring hollowly in my mind. He's trouble, Aspen. I wouldn't want to see you get hurt. Who did I think I was, questioning her advice? Eden was the person closest to Alex for 5 freaking years. She knows him better than anyone, and me? I've barely known the man 5 minutes, and I trusted him with my... well, with everything.
I want to be your friend, Aspen, not your fuck buddy.
I check the expiration date of a can of tomato soup, but my brain is so rattled I don't even know what year it is anymore. Alex said he was trying to do the right thing. Why does the right thing have to be abstaining from really awesome sex? I finally allowed myself to trust my gut, to take what I want, and this is how it works out for me? Old Aspen was on to something with her impossibly high walls and unshakable professionalism. You'd think that escaping alone to the Canadian wilderness wouldn't lead to even more heartache. But here I am, trying not to let some guy make me cry all over again.
Chapter 13. Alex. I kick a bucket into the corner and let out a frustrated growl. I've been outside in the shed, not exactly hiding, but... Okay, fine, I'm hiding. But fuck! How is it that I managed to mess something up so horribly when all I'm trying to do is the right thing? The hurt look on Aspen's face when I told her last night had been a mistake haunts me. I want to kick my own ass. That was a shittier thing to do than what Dale did to her. Why did I have to call what we shared a mistake? Of all the words I could have used. The nonstop barrage of texts from Saint this morning hasn't helped either. After one of the best nights of my life, I got up early and made coffee. While I waited for Aspen to wake up, I checked in with my lawyer to see if there were any updates. There weren't any updates on the case, but that didn't stop him from pointing out that now would be a very bad time to get involved with someone new. He said the smartest thing to do would be to stay single this summer and keep my relationships out of the press, and that meant not being seen with any new women. After that text, the texts from Saint started. He had a field day, firing off a bunch of tattoo options he has for me. Every one of them is atrocious, from the elaborate face of a troll eating oatmeal that I won't be able to scrub from my brain anytime soon, to something simple like his name in a fancy font, or my personal favorite, a block text banner that read, "I'm an idiot." Because that's exactly what I am, a gigantic fucking idiot. I, of course, shot off my own texts, arguing that the tattoo was only if I fell in love and Aspen and I had hooked up once, so I told him to fuck off. But the truth is, I can picture a life with Aspen. And that's probably what scares me more than anything, because I seem to have a knack for destroying everything in my path. Deciding I can't hide out in the shed forever, I grab the batteries I came looking for and make my way back inside. I keep myself busy by checking all the smoke detectors, but our dance around the cabin gets harder. When I hear her in the kitchen, I make myself scarce, and when she hangs out in the living room, I head out to the deck. But I can't avoid her forever, not when we're living under the same roof. I do my best to busy myself with tasks today, but when Aspen walks into a room, all my attention is shot. She's all I can focus on. It's now late in the afternoon, and she's wrapped herself in a fuzzy throw blanket and is stationed on the couch. She's down to the last dozen or so pages of her novel. Her mouth is turned down, and she hasn't even looked up to acknowledge my presence all day. I want to ask her about the ending, but I don't dare. After I return the ladder to the garage, I pause in the living room. Anything in particular sound good for dinner? She looks up at me with a frown.
I'm not hungry.
Okay, I deserved that. She's not even going to grace me with her presence or share a meal with me anymore. The realization that she won't be making those little noises of satisfaction when I feed her does nothing to improve my mood. When I don't move, Aspen looks up and meets my gaze. Even though she's obviously mad at me, I can still feel the familiar buzz of chemistry crackling between us. Last night was intense, more intimate than a hookup had any right to be. Saint's words ring in my head. She's the marrying kind, bro. So unless you're trying to become someone's husband, it means you'd better keep your dick in your pants this summer. If only I'd listened. The last thing I need is a wife. If I know one thing for certain, it's that I'd be a terrible partner. I think about the strained relationship of my parents. It took my mom getting cancer for them to finally sort their shit out. And they did, but just barely. Ending things between Aspen and me was the right thing to do. Wasn't it? And there's another factor at play here, too. I can't risk pissing off Eden. I had big hopes for this season. And now I'm going to be facing down some lawsuit in court, too, because I refused to settle or accept blame for something I didn't do. I have to tread carefully. Hooking up with my boss's assistant and friend? Not in the cards for someone trying to walk the straight and narrow. Aspen's gaze falls from mine and returns to her book. The sting of her rejection, which I'm definitely not accustomed to, hurts more than I care to admit. Hey, Can we talk when you're done with your book? She looks down, seeming to realize for the first time that she's on the last few pages, and then back up at me.
Sure.
On the deck, maybe 15 minutes?
Okay,
she says, but there's no joy in her voice. 15 minutes later, true to her word, Aspen joins me outside on the deck. I've lifted the cover off the hot tub and stored it on the side of the house. A bottle of wine and a single wine glass rest on a small table beside the sunken hot tub, along with a plate of cheese and crackers and a bunch of purple grapes.
What's this?
She asks, stopping like she's afraid to come any closer. For you. I've heated it, so it should be warm. I tip my chin toward the hot tub, which bubbles and steams in the cooling early evening air. It's my attempt at apologizing, I say sheepishly. I never meant to upset you. Aspen nods once.
Is that my dinner?
She eyes the wine and platter I've prepared for her. If you want it to be.
Thank you,
she says, wandering closer. She dips her fingers into the water to test the temperature and makes a pleased sound. Saint told me this thing heats fast, and I'm glad he wasn't wrong.
I guess I'll get my suit on.
When she turns for the door, she pauses and then faces me again.
For the record, you didn't upset me, but you did make me feel like I was nothing more than a used Kleenex, so, yeah.
I wince. I am so sorry about that. I promise that was not my intention. I fucked up. Majorly. She nods in agreement and then disappears inside to change into her swimsuit. A few minutes later, Aspen returns dressed in a fluffy white bathrobe and a pair of pink slippers. When she unties the robe and slides it off her shoulders, I nearly swallow my tongue, because damn, she does not fight fair. She's wearing a bright red one-piece that dips low in front to show off her ample cleavage. I make myself scarce while she disrobes and climbs into the warm water. Mentally, I'm not strong enough to watch that play out. The sound of relief pushing past her lips makes my balls ache. Once she's submerged, I pour her a glass of wine and hand it to her.
Thanks,
she murmurs. Then I gather some towels and set them beside the hot tub in a chair. Okay, enjoy. I'm going to go make a sandwich or something. She nods, and I head for the door, but before I reach it, she clears her throat.
Alex?
I turn around quickly. Yes?
Thanks. And, if you want to join me, there's plenty of room.
As if to prove her point, she wiggles her toes on the far end of the hot tub. You sure? I ask, surprise filling my tone. My God, this is such a bad idea, stacked on top of my last bad idea. But I can hardly bring myself to care. She nods. Before she can change her mind, I dash upstairs and strip out of my clothes so fast I practically set a world record. Less than a minute later, I'm easing into the water beside her, while Aspen makes an amused noise that sounds a lot like laughter. The top of her breasts are visible in the water, and I force my eyes away, but it's too late. I can't exactly help the fact that my dick is now hard. Terrific. The little fucker has terrible timing. It's not like I can climb out of the hot tub right now and go jerk off, or ask Aspen to take care of it. Although the idea of that is more than a little arousing. Aspen's small, manicured hand being the one to work my dick, rather than my own calloused one. Down, boy. That ship has sailed. In fact, you torpedoed it, dumbass.
This is nice,
she says, leaning her head against the edge of the hot tub and closing her eyes briefly. Yeah. And I release a slow exhale, and her eyes open, finding mine. I really am sorry. The truth is, I don't know why I said the shit I did this morning. I enjoyed every single thing about last night. Aspen brings her wine glass to her lips, watching me, waiting for me to continue. And I guess I just thought, let's leave it there, with a happy memory to remember it by. I didn't want to mess that up.
Okay,
she says softly. In case you haven't heard, I'm a fuck up, so Messing up somehow was inevitable. She shifts.
Do you really believe that?
I reach for the bottle and refill her glass.
I don't know. If history is any indication, then yeah.
Her expression is contemplative.
Want some?
Aspen offers me her glass. Do you think I'm a dick? I ask, accepting the glass. Her eyes narrow as she watches me take a sip of the wine.
I don't think you're a dick, Alex.
My relief at those words is immediate, and I relax, sinking a few inches lower into the water. We share the bottle of wine, both of us drinking from her glass as we make small talk. Between the wine and the fact that Aspen seems to have forgiven me, I'm lulled into actually relaxing. Later, when we're thoroughly pruned from the hot water, I cover the hot tub and make us something to eat while Aspen goes off to shower and change. As we're sitting at the kitchen island, eating grilled cheese sandwiches, I remind her about the youth hockey camp I'm helping with in New York next weekend.
Will your nephew be there?
I shake my head. He's too little. This camp is for ages 10 and up, but I'll be sure to see him while I'm there. Aspen's dressed in gray knit pants and a long-sleeved pink t-shirt. She's not wearing a bra beneath it, and I'm trying hard not to notice. I finish my food and rinse my plate.
Well, I think I'm going to call it a night,
she says, rising to her feet.
Thanks for the sandwich.
Anytime. Good night. I watch her head off up the stairs, then finish tidying up the kitchen. When I make it upstairs a few minutes later, the light in her bedroom is still on, but I don't dare venture closer to investigate. Aspen may have forgiven me, but that doesn't mean we'll be having a repeat of last night, no matter how desperately I might want to.
Chapter 14. Aspen. My bare feet carry me down the hall as unease swims inside me. What am I doing? Against all self-preservation, against all sense of logic and common sense, and even at the risk of enduring terrible heartache later, I stand here at Alex's open bedroom door, waiting for an invitation inside. He's shirtless, dressed only in a pair of gray joggers that hang low on his trim waist. He meets my eyes. Thanks for earlier. My voice is a little shaky. The hot tub was nice.
Yeah, it was. And you're welcome.
So was the apology. He runs one hand over the back of his neck, and I admire the way his bicep flexes.
I was wrong, just so you know. Last night wasn't a mistake.
His deep voice rumbles over the words. Are you sure about that? He nods.
Positive.
I take a step closer, entering his room, and my heart begins to pound wildly. Before I have the chance to chicken out, Alex closes the distance between us, his powerful body moving with confidence until he stops directly in front of me. Using two fingers beneath my chin, he lifts my mouth to his. His lips are warm and soft, but insistent. My entire body tingles, and my core aches with desire as I lose myself to this moment. His mouth moves with the deliberate, hot strokes of his tongue. I love it, craving more. I've never been kissed like this, and I hold nothing back. When my hands grip his shoulders, tugging him closer, he begins to touch me. He slides his palms beneath my t-shirt to caress and tease my breasts, then lower into the back of my pants, which he pushes out of the way as he slides his hands along the curve of my ass.
Is this okay?
He asks between blazing hot kisses. I make a noise of approval, and Alex sinks to his knees. On his way down, he kisses my neck, my chest, my navel. And with my pants now around my ankles, he brings his mouth to the apex of my thighs and treats my center to a slow, sensuous kiss. I moan, and my eyes close as I fist his hair.
You taste so fucking good.
He groans, devouring me in hot, wet kisses. My legs tremble, and I try to steady myself with one hand on the wall behind me and one on his shoulder. His face lifts to mine.
Let's move to the bed.
I step out of my tangled pants and let him guide me to the mattress. I'm not sure what brought me to Alex's room tonight, He already told me it couldn't happen again, shouldering all the blame for the reasons why it couldn't. But our sexual encounter last night seemed to have awakened something deep inside me. I couldn't get enough of him. The way he looked at me, the sexy hair on his chest, his huge hands, his muscled body. I want it all, again and again. And he doesn't seem to notice or care about the extra 20 pounds I could stand to lose. He made me feel desirable, wanted, needed. Part of me knows that he was right. Maybe we shouldn't indulge in each other this way. Except there's another part of me who's tired of playing it safe. A part of me who knows that sticking by Dale's side for all those years did absolutely nothing for me. So it's this voice I listen to, this confident, brazen, sexual side of me that's saying things like, "Yes, girl, it's more than okay to bang the hot hockey player for no other reason than the fact that you want to." And looking into Alex's dark blue eyes now, heavy with arousal, I realize I was crazy to think that things were actually over between us, especially with so much summer left.
Chapter 15. Alex. I messed things up once already, but we could only stand the blistering chemistry between us for so long, and it seems that Aspen has reached her limit. I'm just lucky to be the guy on the receiving end of her attention. After I buried my face between her legs and made her come, I helped her out of her shirt, and she returned the favor, stripping me bare. Now we're sitting together in the center of my bed. Aspen is in my lap, rubbing her tempting curves all over me, and I have no idea how I got so fortunate, especially after the things I told her this morning. God, I'm such a dick. But she's wet and moving on top of me, and it would be easy to change our angle and bury myself inside her. But I need to get a condom, and the last thing I want to do after my massive failure is rush her, even if I am about to explode. Her mouth lingers on mine, and when we part, she gives me a shy look. Without a word about what she's planning, she climbs from my lap and stands next to the bed. Then she pats one of my thighs until I swing my legs over the edge of the bed, resting my feet on the floor. She sinks to her knees between my parted thighs and brings one hand to my rigid cock. A slow exhale pushes past my lips. Her gaze mischievously meets mine while her fingers trace the length of my shaft in her palm. A shudder runs through me. Aspen pumps me in her fist and lowers her head to take me in the warmth of her mouth. I take a slow, deep breath, trying to get myself in check. Oh, shit. Can't think straight. Ugh. I cup her jaw in one hand as her sweet lips move slowly up and down over me, as if to tease me, as if to draw out my pleasure. But then she begins moving over me in hot, steady strokes, sliding her fist along with her mouth. "Yes, sweetheart, fuck. Your mouth is perfect," I groan as pleasure crashes over me. Over the last few months, I've convinced myself I'm not built for this level of intimacy and comfort. Or tender care from a good woman. I told myself that drunken hookups in the back corners of bars were all I deserved after breaking my ex's heart. I'm a bad guy, not someone who should be adored with worshipful gazes or soft touches. But Aspen, it seems, never got that memo. She touches me with reverence and so much tenderness that my heart nearly bursts. She's dropped to her knees and is sucking on my cock like I'm her boyfriend, and this isn't all just pretend. She swallows me while I touch her hair and rub her shoulder, and I almost die of happiness at how fucking good it feels to be taken care of this way. Those blue eyes meet mine, and whatever control I have left vanishes. I stroke the silky length of her hair, my hips lifting up from the bed, even though I tell them not to. Slow down. Let her set the pace. It doesn't work. I'm way too close. Aspen, fuck. I groan and touch her cheek. Gonna come. Better stop if you don't want that. It's not the most romantic thing I've ever said, but those words seem to get her attention. With one last seductive kiss to the swollen head of my cock, she grins and rises to her feet. Hell, she's hot. I fight to catch my breath while my heart beats wildly.
Do you have more condoms?
Wolfishly, I grin. Stay put. Ducking into the hall, I retrieve a fistful of condoms from Saint's stash in his closet and toss them onto the nightstand as Aspen laughs.
Someone's ambitious.
I smirk. No, I don't expect anything. You know that. Everything we do from here on out is your call. Hell, it's always been your call, now that I think about it. She likes this. Leaning down to kiss me in a tender way, she pats my chest.
Lie down.
I obey as she selects a condom and hands me the package. It's all the reassurance I need. I ready myself for her as she climbs on board, straddling my thighs. While I lift on one elbow to reach her lips, she touches my jaw and sinks onto my cock so slowly that my lungs seize. I can't breathe, can't think, can't do anything but lie here at her mercy and let her fuck me. She's running the show now, and the pace she sets is leisurely, unhurried. Like we have all night to pleasure each other, and I guess we do, which is the best thought ever. So good. I groan again, bringing my hands to her breasts to tease her nipples, and Aspen gasps. Love the way you look riding me. She moves faster now, finding a spot that makes her shiver in my arms. That's it. I encourage her. I fill my hands with her ass as she rocks over me. It's perfect. Aspen watches me, but she's quiet. And though her features are painted in bliss, I'm dying to know what she's thinking. Feel good? I murmur. She presses one hand over my heart and nods. Too good. Her words are like a shot straight through me. It doesn't take long until she's coming undone, trembling and moaning something that sounds a lot like my name. The heat of Aspen's body clutching at mine causes me to lose the reins on my careful control. I grip her waist and my hips lift in erratic bursts, meeting her with firm thrusts. She collapses on top of me, chest to chest, her heart pounding, as I fill the condom with a release so powerful, every muscle in my body locks up at once. That's when I know that I'm officially done for.
Chapter 16. Aspen. The brewery is busy this afternoon, its tables and booths packed full of locals watching the Toronto Blue Jays game.
Do you want to go somewhere else?
Alex has to lean in close so I can hear him over the cheering, his lips brushing against my ear. A hot, liquid feeling shoots down my spine, and I press into his side to return the favor. No, I like this place. Let's stay. If I were alone, I might duck out and try to find a less crowded spot where I don't run the risk of being elbowed in the face. But Alex guards me with his burly body, one arm wrapped around my waist and the other shouldering aside distracted fans. He maneuvers us through the crowd until we find two open seats at the end of a communal table. Miraculously, one of the waitstaff finds us and takes our order, two fruity IPAs and a plate of specialty brisket tacos to share. Spending the afternoon in town has proven to be the perfect cure for cabin fever. If we stayed at the cabin any longer, I was starting to think we'd never get out of bed. Not that I'm against that scenario, mind you. We're going to be regulars soon enough, I say, joking as the server disappears to put in our orders. Alex counts on one hand, pretending to do a really difficult math problem.
I don't think our combined total of three visits makes us regulars.
Let a girl dream, I pout, pushing out my lower lip and batting my eyelashes. Darkening by the second, his eyes are trained on my mouth. I wore lipstick tonight, a smoky nude that I save for special occasions. Alex smiles.
I'm all for dreams. Do you want to live in a town like this someday?
An idyllic little safe haven about a yard's throw from the prettiest lake I've ever seen? Nah, sounds awful. I wink at him, enjoying the way his smile grows. It's another non-date, sure, but that doesn't mean I won't shamelessly flirt with the man, especially after I know what he can do between the sheets. After the server returns with our food and drinks, I lean over the table to grab my share, giving Alex an eyeful of cleavage. Once he's done taking in the view, he blinks up at me, watching the first bite disappear behind my lips.
Unrelated, but you look beautiful tonight,
Alex says nonchalantly. My cheeks turn hot. That's not fair. Thanks, I murmur into my beer. Gotta try a little harder when I'm going out in public with a face like yours. Alex rolls his eyes, but smiles.
We've got about 20 minutes before the movie starts.
I could swear his cheekbones redden just a teensy bit. Making Alex Braun blush? Way too fun. We dig into our food, making good time. It's not strictly dinner and a movie, but it certainly feels like that kind of night. While Alex settles the bill, I mentally count how many times I've grabbed dinner with a friend before seeing a movie. Plenty of times. Did we usually split the bill? Well, yes. Alex takes my hand and leads me out the door wearing a contagious smile. I can't help but think that he's unlike any friend I've ever had. He's a guy, for one. A guy I'm currently having top-of-the-line sex with. I've never been in a friends-with-benefits situation before. The movies I've seen usually end with the characters catching feelings and finding their happily ever after together. In real life, with a public figure, no less, I'm playing a dangerous game. I have feelings. All sorts of feelings. I just can't tell where they start. My libido or my heart? We find the theater with a few minutes left to spare. It's a historical building with old movie posters lining the paneled walls and soft jazz playing in the background. Alex pays for the tickets, and even though we're both pretty stuffed, I still buy us a large bag of popcorn to share. It takes some convincing before Alex pockets his wallet. It's not a date if I don't let him pay for everything, right? The movie Alex chose for us is a black-and-white monster flick from the 50s. When the monster's first victim is dragged off into the steaming swamp to die off-screen, I can't help but break into a fit of giggles. And with Alex whispering in my ear the whole time, the laughter doesn't stop until long after the credits roll. It would take hours, you know, just to get in costume, I say as we walk back to the car. They didn't have the option of CGI, so you can only imagine how heavy all the gear was. I'm convinced the monster walk originated just because it was impossible to walk normally with all that crap on.
You know a lot about old movies,
Alex chuckles, opening the car door for me. My dad was a film buff, I grin, proud of the nerd I am. He taught me everything he knew. Alex nods, squeezing my shoulder with a kind look in his eye. I never in a million years thought I'd be comfortable enough with someone to share such personal details about my life. I could never talk to my ex about my dad, besides the one time I briefly explained why he isn't around anymore. Dale always changed the subject if I reminisced, so eventually I learned to keep my memories bottled up, because why share them with someone who didn't respect my dad's memory? But Alex brings out the vulnerability in me. Better yet, he actually listens and wants to know. On the car ride back to the cabin, we swap stories about our childhoods. To my surprise, Alex admits that he didn't start playing hockey until middle school.
My mom thought it was too violent. I argued that it doesn't really get bloody until you're in the big leagues, which didn't help. She finally let me try out for the team when I was in seventh grade.
I hope she's supportive now. I giggle because it's absurd to think that this mountain of muscle almost didn't play the sport that's earned him millions, all because his mom said no. It's kind of sweet, actually.
Oh, she still thinks it's too violent,
he smirks.
But she definitely sees the value now that the family's debt-free.
I'm suddenly reminded of the time at the store with the man who couldn't afford groceries for his family. How Alex came to the rescue and paid the bill, no questions asked. You're a very generous man, Alex Braun. There's that hint of color brightening his cheekbones again. Like I said, way too fun. Finally, he says,
in a world like this, someone has to be.
I snag one of his hands from the steering wheel and give it a squeeze. For the rest of the ride, we hold hands in comfortable silence. When we pull into the drive, Alex stiffens.
Did you leave any lights on?
He asks, his voice more serious than it's been all night. The cabin practically glows, all the windows lit up. What the? No, I don't think so. But I know I definitely locked up. I swallow, my anxiety mounting. Did someone break in while we were in town? Is Saint here? Suddenly, our summer of fun is at the mercy of being snatched away from us. It's then that I notice the silver pickup truck parked at the side of the house.
Stay here. Keep the car running.
Alex's arms flex as he grips the steering wheel. He's in full-on protector mode now, watching the house for signs of danger. He gets out of the car and stalks up the driveway toward the front door.
Anyone in there?
He calls out with a hard edge in his voice. If I were a burglar, I'd be running for the hills already. In a bizarre turn of events, an older woman wearing glasses peeks out the front door with a look of interest.
Oh, hello, are you the caretaker?
Yes, I yell, leaning out the car window. Who the heck is this woman? To make matters even stranger, an older gentleman pops his head out the door, too.
Have we got guests, Cindy?
I think we're the guests, Bert.
Cindy laughs, approaching Alex with an outstretched hand.
Lucinda St. James, I take it you're friends with our Price?
Price? No one calls him Price. But then I realize these are Saint's parents. He mentioned in his email that his mom and dad like to stop by the cabin every now and then. Relieved, I reach over to turn off the car and then join Alex, who is visibly more relaxed.
I'm Alex, and this is Aspen. We've been taking care of the place for the past few weeks. I hope we didn't spook you,
Bert chortles, placing a hand on his wife's shoulder.
We tried calling the house, but no one picked up. Price gave us your cell number, Aspen, but we couldn't get through. Service can be so darn spotty up here. Come on in.
We follow the couple inside, sharing a bewildered look behind their backs. I pull Alex in to whisper in his ear. Don't think I missed your sexy little white knight moment. Alex chuckles low in his chest.
You thought that was sexy?
Mm-hmm. I'll have to tell you all about it later tonight. He growls in approval, giving my ass cheek a quick squeeze before the couple turns around. Bert tells us that they live about an hour's drive from the cabin.
We were passing through on our way home from town and decided to stop by. Hope that's all right. Looks fantastic in there, by the way.
Of course, I mean, this is your son's cabin, I say, suddenly feeling put on the spot. I'm nearly done with the larger tasks on my list, but there's definitely work left to do.
Aspen, you've done a wonderful job with the place. Cindy pats my arm excitedly. Price has owned this cabin for years, and it's never looked this nice. I thought it was destined to be a dusty bachelor pad forever.
It's hard work, I say with a smile, but I've really enjoyed it.
Brawn, right?
Bert shakes Alex's hand with a firm grip.
I was just firing up the grill. I brought enough beef for all of us to have burgers. Really good stuff, too. I get it from a local butcher who does his business with farms only a couple hundred miles south of us.
Bert rambles on, leading Alex out the sliding doors and onto the deck. Alex shoots me a wide-eyed look that would make me keel over laughing if I weren't entertaining my own new friend.
Now tell me, Cindy says with a glint in her eye. I'm not too familiar with the team these days. It's always changing. Does your beau play hockey too?
Oh, no, we're not together. We're just friends. I stutter, the room feeling 10 times warmer.
But, yeah, Alex plays for the Boston Titans with Saint.
I follow her into the kitchen, joining her at the island where she finishes slicing a pineapple. The air is fragrant with the smell of apples, grapes, bananas, kiwis, and something sharp. I spot an open bottle of vodka on the counter.
Want some, dear? She asks, already mixing me a glass. I make a mean Cape Cod.
Definitely, I say with a grin, bellying up to the island to pick up where she left off with the pineapple. What's all the fruit for?
A simple fruit salad, she says before shooting me a wink. Family recipe. Bert's got a bit of a sweet tooth.
Me too, I say, my mouth watering. Brisket tacos, beer, popcorn, and now a delicious homemade meal? Second only to my birthday, this day has really pampered me.
Too bad the two of you aren't dating. You'd be such a stunning couple.
Cindy sighs, nodding toward the men outside.
Alex throws his head back in laughter, clapping Bert on the shoulder like they're old friends. In a moment of weakness, I let myself imagine Alex meeting my dad. The easy conversation, the inside jokes. Would they have been fast friends too? I'll bet they would have. My heart aches at the thought of what will never be. Cindy must catch my expression because she says, "Oh dear, it's complicated, isn't it?" I shake off my sadness and give her a half smile. Yes, in more ways than one. I catch Alex's eyes through the glass, and a warm feeling blossoms in my chest when he lifts his head just so, his smile sweeter than any fruit. Cindy bumps me with her hip. "Bert used to look at me like that when we were just friends, too." I laugh. "Did he? What changed?" "Oh, you know, these things have a strange way of working themselves out. And if it stays complicated, I know for a fact that my son is single." I chuckle under my breath. Single is the G-rated word for Saint's R-rated lifestyle. But I wouldn't dare tell his mom that. She may already know. The humorous sparkle in her eyes reminds me of the team's trademark Playboy. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, as they say. "Voila!" Cindy drops a handful of candied cranberries in my drink with a flourish before putting it in my hands. "Enjoy." I thank her and take a sip, enjoying the tart sweetness of it. Dinner is delightful. It's a bit of a challenge to keep up with the conversation, seeing as I've only really talked to one person for the past few weeks. And the drinks are strong, a lot stronger than they seem. When I switch to water, Alex gives me an understanding look and carries the brunt of the conversation from there. He's a hit with Cindy and Bert. I mean, look at him. How could you not be absolutely smitten? His dark hair is messy and there's a few days' worth of stubble on his jaw. His eyes flicker with mischief in the low light, and he laughs easily and often. I love just looking at him. When our late dinner is done and the evening winds down, Cindy and Bert say their goodbyes, leaving with promises to connect with us when they come to Boston for the next home game. I am a little sad to see them go, but it's been a long day and I'm ready for bed. Alex closes the front door when their taillights disappear around the bend.
"You tired?"
he asks, wrapping one arm around me to pull me into his chest. He's so warm and solid. I wish I could fall asleep right here and now. I have a vague memory of something I said earlier, something about how sexy Alex's bodyguard routine was, of telling him about it in the bedroom tonight. But even as I entertain the thought of sex, I yawn. "Yeah," I sigh, nuzzling my nose against his shirt. "Did you have a nice time?"
"Actually, I did."
He chuckles, and the sound vibrates pleasantly against my cheek.
"When we were grilling, Bert told me all his hockey predictions for the year."
"Oh, yeah?"
"Says I need to watch my angles, and that if I keep on the straight and narrow, I could make all the difference for the team this year."
I slowly lift my chin and meet his eyes. What does the straight and narrow look like for Alex? Does he see me at his side in that scenario? I have so many questions, but all I do is give him a soft, encouraging smile. "I believe that, too." Alex kisses me on the forehead, a gesture far too intimate for friends with benefits. I wrap my arms around him and bury my face in his chest again. Maybe if I don't let go, things don't have to change between us. Maybe the looming season can wait a little longer and the world can remain just me and Alex. Chapter 17. Aspen. Rain plinks against the cabin's window in a gloomy onslaught. It started sprinkling around 4 o'clock while I was weeding the front flower beds and hasn't let up since. Now the storm seems to be intensifying. As I'm cleaning the last of dinner from my plate, a boom of thunder makes me shiver. "It's getting worse," I say, wrapping my arms around myself. I think about hurrying upstairs to grab a sweater, but Alex cuts in with a much better idea.
"How about I start a fire?"
He reaches for me, running a warm, calloused hand up and down my arm.
The touch thaws me a bit, but does nothing to chase away the goosebumps. I don't know if I'll ever get used to the feel of his big, masculine hands on my bare skin. That sounds perfect. While Alex gets to work in the living room, I take it upon myself to empty and reload the dishwasher. It occurs to me that I know precisely where every glass, dish, and utensil go, like I've lived in this place my whole life. A lump forms in my throat at the realization that I've only got a couple more weeks left under this roof. More importantly, I only have a few more weeks left with Alex. I press the wash button and listen to the gentle hum of the dishwasher as the water starts to flow. I need a drink. When I raid the pantry for something sweet, my gaze lands on a package of hot chocolate mix. Pair that with a splash of peppermint liqueur? Heaven. Alex lays out a couple of heavy blankets in front of the growing fire as I join him. I offer him a brimming mug of steaming hot chocolate with a sly smile.
"What's this?"
he asks, moving his long legs to make room for me on the blanket. I settle in next to him, instantly warmed by the fire. "Hot chocolate with a little something extra." Giving me a skeptical look, he blows the steam off the top of his drink. I can't help but stare at his plush lips on the edge of the cup as I take a sip of my own. When he swallows, his dark eyebrows rise in pleasant surprise.
"That's good."
"Don't tell me you've never had hot chocolate with peppermint liqueur." Surprised, I shake my head in disbelief. Back in college, I would make a whole pot of it on the stove for my roommates. It's the perfect mixture of chocolatey and minty without being too boozy.
"Can't say I have,"
he says with a chuckle.
"But I like it."
With that, Alex sets the drink aside and leans over, pressing his beverage-warmed lips against mine. He tastes like dessert, and I can't get enough. I sigh against his mouth, enjoying how he threads one free hand through my hair and teases my lips open with the tip of his tongue. We taste each other, slowly and sensually, without a care in the world. But just when it seems like time has stopped, questions start racing through my mind again. What happens when we get back to Boston? What if we can't figure out how to be just friends and end up treating each other like strangers? What if everything I've found in myself this summer, everything I've come to love about myself, fades away? I think of my newfound sexual confidence, the desire Alex has awakened within me. I think of the way smiles come easier to me these days, now that I'm no longer burdened by a toxic partner. I think of how comforting it is to finally be accepted for who I am instead of being criticized for who I'm not. What if I lose all these positive changes the second I lock up the cabin for the last time? A log in the fire snaps and I grip the front of Alex's shirt, deepening the kiss with a throaty moan. He indulges my urgency, embracing me with equal passion. But when he pulls back, a look of concern is etched across his features.
"What is it?"
He runs his fingers over the hand I've buried in his shirt, soothing me with the softest of touches.
"You're shaking."
I blink and drop my chin, escaping his penetrating gaze. Oh, I think I just got stuck in my head for a moment there.
"What were you thinking about?"
"Going home, I guess." The vaguer, the better. I don't dare admit how afraid I am of losing him and the intimacy we've shared for the past few weeks. We made a deal, after all, just for the summer.
"What about it?"
Alex caresses a soft line in my cheek.
"Are you worried about finding a new place?"
Yeah, I guess I am. I can't unload the truth on him, not now, not when our whole arrangement was my idea. I think I'm gonna have a hard time leaving here.
"I know what you mean."
His gaze meets mine, and I'm pretty sure there's some hidden meaning behind those eyes of his. I snuggle against his firm chest, watching his fingers as he plays with the ends of my hair. We fall silent for a moment and listen to the crackle of the fire. After a while, my mind wanders, and I think about what a future with Alex might look like. Would we have long, rainy nights like this, content to just rest in each other's arms? Would we weather the struggles of life together well as a couple? Especially with him traveling as much as he does during hockey season and being surrounded by countless puck bunnies? Or would it end like it did with Dale? Like it did with Eden?
You want to know something?
Alex asks suddenly, pulling me out of my spiral and back down to planet Earth. Yes, of course. I caress his forearm with my fingertips.
This has probably been the best summer of my life.
My hand stills on his skin. Is he screwing with me? I pull back to look him in the eye, but his expression is open and honest, reflecting the warmth of the fire. Why do you say that? Alex shrugs, lifting a strand of my pale hair and rubbing it between his fingertips.
I haven't always felt like I could be myself, you know. Back home, it's like everyone has already decided who I am. But here, with you, I can be the kind of man I want to be.
He pauses, a thoughtful look in his eye.
I suppose there's something centering about being out in the middle of nowhere with nothing but a beautiful woman to distract you.
I blush, pushing his shoulder playfully. Charmer.
I mean it, though.
He says with a roguish smirk, but there's something insistent in his voice.
This summer could have been hella awkward, or at best, boring. But it wasn't, because you didn't dismiss me as some asshole you had to keep tabs on from a distance. For the first time in a long time, I wasn't seen as a time bomb. I got to be a person. I got to be just Alex, and I...
He starts to say something, but seems to think better of it before settling on...
I'm glad it all turned out the way it did.
Me too, I murmur, searching his eyes for answers to questions I'm not brave enough to ask. Alex threads his fingers through mine.
You okay?
Yeah, I manage to say, trying to convince myself that it's not a lie. It's been strange imagining going back to Boston, back to the way things were. I get what you mean about feeling like yourself here. I feel that way too, and I like this version of Aspen the best.
I do too,
he says quietly, and I lock eyes with him, a little surprised.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Continue.
And this Aspen really, really likes you. It would be so easy to say those words right now, bundled up next to the fire with the warmth of hot chocolate and liqueur buzzing in my veins. But I can't risk the possibility of rejection, not so soon in my recovery from my last mess of a relationship. My heart couldn't take it. So instead, I say, I guess I've been really spoiled this summer. I mean, for starters, whatever apartment I find isn't going to come close to being this nice. I gesture around us half-heartedly.
You'll find a place. It might not have a hot tub and be on a lake, but it'll be right for you.
Alex nudges my arm with a wink. A grin creeps across my lips, eager to replace my frown. I don't want to waste any more precious time being worried. No hot tub? I pout. What about a fireplace?
Is that a requirement?
Oh, yeah, I giggle. Fireplaces are perfect for cozying up in front of. I nuzzle his neck, trailing kisses along the corded muscle there. Alex exhales deeply, leaning into my touch.
All by yourself?
He asks, his voice huskier now. I shiver as he trails one hand up my thigh to the edge of my shirt, tugging the fabric away to caress more of my skin. No, I whisper, gasping when his thumb brushes the underside of my breast. With a book.
A book? Not a man?
Both of his hands are under my shirt now, his fingers drawing teasing circles around my nipples before pinching them experimentally. I arch my back, and Alex takes the opportunity to lift off my shirt and palm my exposed chest. I pull his face to mine and kiss him deeply. When we part, it's with gasping breaths. His eyes are dark with desire. The time for words is done. Alex leans back only far enough to pull off his shirt. I rake my fingers against the hard ridges of his abs, enjoying how they flex against my touch. Gripping my leg, he pushes us down into the blanket, lining his cock, already hard and eager, up with my achingly wet core. He grinds against me, watching my face closely as I moan. I lift my hips off the blanket as an invitation. He takes the hint and tugs my shorts and panties down my legs, brushing my skin with lazy, unhurried kisses on the way down. Then he unbuttons his own pants and pulls them down his long, athletic legs, but not before grabbing a condom from his back pocket. Soon, there's nothing between us. Only hot, magnetic skin on skin, and more desire than I've ever felt. Alex lowers his hand between my legs, feeling exactly how ready I am. With his other hand, he unrolls a condom down the length of his erection, all the while staring intently at my eyes, my lips, my breasts. Just the heat of his gaze is enough to make my pulse quicken. Then he teases my opening with the tip, not quite entering me. I moan, so close to losing my mind.
What do you want, Aspen?
His voice is warm and tender, like all he cares about in this moment is me. I dig my fingernails into his lower back, any semblance of control long gone now that I'm sprawled naked beneath him. Gasping, I say, I want you inside me. He wraps his hands around my hips, the press of his fingers electrifying. With one gentle push, Alex fills me. My toes curl as he drives himself deep inside me, every last inch of him buried in my core. When he doesn't move, I prompt him with my hips, a desperate whimper escaping my lips. He smirks, leaning over to kiss me lightly before he starts to move his hips in slow, even strokes.
Oh, baby,
he says softly.
I just want you to feel good.
You feel amazing, I say on a groan. It's barely been 2 minutes since we began, and I'm already coming apart at the seams. I rock my hips in rhythm with him, moaning when he hits that incredible place deep inside me. He finds my clit with his thumb, circling it with a feather-light pressure that has me quivering. It feels like the flames have leaped from the fireplace and are licking their way up my arms and legs, promising to consume me whole. Alex, his name trembles on my lips as I come, my body rocking against his in endless pleasure. I hold on to him as he fucks me